I'm just going to read from Colossians. From Colossians 1, verse 15. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Whoa. We just say, we've come to be with you. We've been with you in our worship, and you've met with us. The holy living God, the thrice holy God, of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you've moved amongst us. And we expect you to keep moving amongst us as we hear just from what you're speaking to us about. And we say to you, Lord, today, shall we just hold our hands? We say we cease from all hurrying. We say we come like the Marthas, and we come not like the Marthas, busying ourselves, but we come like Mary, just to sit at your feet, Lord. And so I just pray that hurrying atmosphere of our minds, we just pray that we would shake that off right now. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us individually and collectively as a church, so we understand the mightiness of our King Jesus. Amen. Well, just to say good morning to you all, I just feel that God is going to continue just moving amongst us as we listen to what he's saying. And I am going to share a vision with you that I received the last prayer meeting. But this scripture in Colossians is so important, and it's so important to understand, if you have a vision or a prophetic word, that the most important thing is the word of God. And I kind of have taught that over the years to people in prophetic groups, that it's so important that the word of God is established first, because it's his very breathed out word. And it brings life to us. So in Colossians, I want to say to you, this is our Jesus. This is our greatest treasure, our gift of life, our precious one. And he is the head. And he has all the authority over the church. And he is preeminent. That means he is the supreme one. He is the first in everyone. Everything. He is the first in importance, he is the first in honor, and he is the first in exaltation. And I want to tell you why he is, because it is God the Father's good pleasure and his great delight, and it's his ultimate joy that Jesus should be the supreme one in creation and in salvation. Yeah. You see, the ultimate goal of salvation And God has just been speaking to me about this, is not us. So if you think it's about all about us, it isn't. The ultimate goal of salvation was about making Jesus supreme. Because he is. And so I just want to help you today to know that it is all for him. And why wouldn't it be all for him? Because he's given us everything. And so I'm going to share with this to you this vision that I felt that God imparted to me. And I don't know, the best way to do is maybe just close your eyes, because I don't really know how you would do it, to just listen in the spirit to what God is saying. And so I, on Sunday, this Sunday evening that God gave me this vision, what happened is that I'd just been asleep for a short while, and I woke up, and as I was waking, this vision started to unfold to me. Now, I don't know if God has ever given you a vision, but he hasn't given me many visions. But every time he has given me a vision, I've been totally undone. I've been totally a mess. I haven't been able to hardly speak the words because of God's presence upon me. So as God came upon me, I just started weeping. And I started to be in this place where I was just in the awe of God. How would the God of heaven, how grateful we are that he would come to reveal something to us. And so in this vision, I saw a throne room coming down from heaven, positioned centrally in the church. And it was really on this stage where I'm seated, and I could see all the radiance and the beauty of Jesus sat upon this throne, and the glory of God the Father was filled all around. And then I looked down and I saw the church floor, and it was ablaze with a fire. And it was not a consuming fire, but a fire of God's presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Just ablaze in this place. And then I saw as if somebody took the pictures and the things off the wall that we had before. And I saw that he was writing on the walls. And that's why, and the only reason why, we have got these words written on the wall, because the God of heaven wrote them on the wall. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. And I can't explain to you. I just felt the whole weight of something fall on me. And I had this sense that God said to me, as you behold and gaze on my beauty and glory, because church, we have to behold. We have to gaze upon. God was saying, you will be a people who will not tolerate sin. And I want you to hear very careful. He didn't say you would be a people who would never have sin. He said you would be a people who will not tolerate sin. And to tolerate it is to allow the existence or the practice of, or to indulge in. And he was saying this because he said, you will know I am a holy God. And then power and glory will fall. And the supernatural will flow. And I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would come by the power of your Spirit And I pray that you would etch this vision of your throne room and of your throne being central in this church, and the blazing fire of God on this floor, and your power, Holy Spirit, and these wonderful words of holy and worthy that have been etched on your walls, on your temple. And I pray that you would come by the power of the Spirit and etch them on our hearts, Lord, today. I pray that in your holy name. Amen. You see, the throne was positioned centrally because of the church, and in these days when there is great deception and great tolerance for things that are not of this word. And I don't know if you understand how precious the word of God is. And as a nation and in this country, we have the word of God. And I want you to understand how very, very precious it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and obey this word, because God is requiring us as a church that we obey what the word of God says. And we need to understand is to behold him and allow the Holy Spirit to keep our hearts very tender as we continually, and I really mean this to you, as we continually bow and surrender, laying everything down before our God. Because you might have bowed down 10 years ago, you might have bowed down 30 years ago, you might have bowed down a year ago or even a month ago, but God is asking us as a church, would we bow and will we surrender to what the word of God says and to this holiness of God every day of our lives? Would we do that, church? He's asking us, would we do it? Because otherwise, if you don't do it, there'll be other loves and there'll be other gods and there'll be other idols that, and other influences that are sat upon that throne. Because God does something in our hearts and minds to keep Jesus' name and understanding the Father's love to us and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to behold him continually and gaze upon this throne, gaze upon it in our hearts. It's not, oh, it happens on a Sunday. It happens every day of our lives. You see, God is in relationship with us, and he wants a relationship with us. And so when Rachel started to say this morning, he wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear you sing. He wants to hear you pray. He wants you to read scripture out loud. Don't think praying is a chore. Praying ultimately is a connection. And it's intimacy. And when you don't do that, and the God of heaven is saying to you, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you. It's a delight to me. And when we praise, this praise isn't just for a Sunday. The God of heaven wants to hear our praises every day. Because let me tell you, in praise, this power comes. This power comes within us. And it's our warfare. And when we read the word of God and when we speak it out loud, we do something powerfully. We're proclaiming something. And as we're proclaiming it, we're proclaiming who our God is first and foremost. First and foremost, that is what we're doing. If you come to the word of God just to find something for yourself, you are reading it all wrong. I want to tell you that this morning. You are reading it wrong. You come to the Word of God ultimately to find out who our precious God is, to find out who the wonderful Son Jesus is, to see the Holy Spirit moving on every page. And what that will do, it will transform you. And then I just heard this guy speak. He was so interested. He said, just simply, when you squeeze an orange, what do you get? Orange juice. It's not a trick question. When you squeeze apples, what do you get? And he said, what happens when you squeeze a Christian? What actually do you get? Do you get Christ coming out? So when you're squeezed, maybe in a circumstance, he didn't say these things, but when you're squeezed in a circumstance or you're going through something, if the only relationship you with God is what you can get and what God can do for you and how God can bless you, and not exalting him, not honouring him, not understanding he's the first, he's your treasure, he's everything. Let me tell you, when you're squeezed from all sides, you won't have much coming out of you. But we as a church want Christ flowing out of us, because there's power coming in this place. And I want you to understand that. And so if you maybe feel that your life feels a little empty and a little meaningless, you might ask yourself, and if you really can't feel the presence of God, you need to ask yourself, what has become more important than Jesus to me? Maybe just ask yourself that today. What has become more important than Jesus to me? Because when Jesus isn't on the throne of your heart, the enemy, who is the influencer, will try to get your mind to be thinking about all sorts of worldly, selfish things. And you'll get off course somewhere and you'll be distracted. And when God gave this word quite a while ago about the rearranging that's taking place in this church, it has been a word of great importance to us. And it came last Christmas. And let me tell you, we have seen God do some rearranging. He said this was going to be the same church, but we would look and feel so completely different. And this church would be a place where the atmosphere was heavy with God's glory and presence. Did you feel that this morning? Did you feel the weight of God's glory and his presence in this place? Because it was tangible, you could feel it. And God was saying to us, this church is where the supernatural will be natural to us. And why I'm speaking to you about these things today is because there's a great importance of something that is going to arrive here at this church. And there is going to be an arrival. So you need to expect it in your hearts, of great supernatural presence, of great miracles and great signs and wonders. And everything that we read in the Word of God, I believe that God is laying on my heart to say it's going to start happening here in this church. And God is just saying to us, is this very important thing? So really take it on board today. He said, and it will come in surrender. Because he said, surrender is the key. So we have a key that unlocks the revelation of heaven. Because in surrender, trust and obedience is found. And God was saying there were two beauties that he loved to receive. And this revelation, this surrender that brings the revelation, a revelation is something that is divine and something that is supernatural. And as we bow, church, as we surrender, as we get up on a morning and say, Lord, I'm about your business today. Lord, I want your will for my life in this day. Lord, I want to go where you tell me to go in this day. I want to be reading what you tell me to read. Holy Spirit, inspire me. I want to be going to speak to people and giving them the gospel message and praying and healing. I want to be doing what you tell me to do, God. Because otherwise we'll get up and we'll forget Jesus is there. And what we'll do is we'll start our day on our business. And we'll start doing the things that we would like to do. And we start to do the things that we would enjoy to do. And there's nothing wrong with enjoyment. But isn't it lovely that God hears us? And hears this voice that says, because it's praise and worship, this voice that says, God, I want to do what you want me to do today. I want to go where you tell me to go today. How glorious. Do you not think that is a sweet smell going to heaven? Do you not think that brings the blessing of relationship and intimacy down from the heavens to the earth? Do you understand what it does as we worship up to the heavens? The heaven is coming down with great connection and intimacy. And so today, this supernatural outpouring, I want to tell you, is coming. This fire that I saw that was ablaze on the floor with God's presence is coming. God is stirring the pools of the supernatural. And there's going to be some situations that you're going to start laughing at, because no man could do it, only God. There's going to be some healings that you're going to start jumping and praising about, that no doctor could do it, because the God of heaven is coming to undiagnose some things the doctors have diagnosed. And if you think I'm sat here just trying to whip something up this morning, you're very, very, very mistaken. You're very mistaken this morning of who I am, because I've been on my knees and I've been doing some talking to God and he's been doing some speaking to me. But I want to tell you, you can all be in those places every single day. You can have the next vision. You can have the next prophetic word. All of you, you can come up out of your seats and say something God is saying. It's not for a certain person, it's for those who are talkers and those who are listeners. That's who it's for. And so I feel that this morning God wants to awaken supernatural faith in us. Let him do that this morning, because I feel that you've been buffeted. You've been buffeted back and forwards through situations. You've been buffeted backwards and forwards through financial difficulties. You've been buffeted back and forwards through hardship in relationships. And you feel like you've lost some hope somewhere. And God wants to awaken you this morning to supernatural faith. To supernatural faith. Because this is what happens. And if you don't understand it, it is the truth. The powers of darkness start to tremble when they hear these words. If you don't think that the powers of darkness ever get frightened, well, they do. Because what the church is powerful. And I want you to understand, and maybe turn to somebody this morning to say, you are powerful. Turn to somebody and say, you are powerful. And why I'm telling you that you're powerful is because you have been given from the heavens all power and all authority to cast out demons, to preach the gospel and to go into all the nations. And so your nations might be for the people like Linda, who's going to start doing some counselling. Your nations could just be in the schools. Your nations could be your neighbours. Your nations could be at your workplace. But if you don't go and tell somebody, if you don't tell the next person, how are they going to know? And that is the enemy's strategic plan, is to weaken you. Because he cannot stand the supernatural. And that's why he wants to weaken you. And you'll know if you get under the influence of the enemy by how you read God's word. Because that's a big thing. He comes to influence us, and he tells us we don't have time. He tries to convince your mind it's not important, not an important thing to do. But let me tell you, it is an important thing to do. And he comes to influence you by keeping from this intimacy and keeping from praying, because prayer is relationship. So he'll influence you. And I just was writing some things down last night. And you see, we can spend hours watching TV. We can spend hours watching sport and thinking about sport. We can have hours on do-it-yourself jobs around the house. We can do weeks on holiday. But ask yourself today, actually, how much time, how much of your precious time do you give to the precious one who has given you everything? How much do you understand holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty? How much do you understand worthy are you, O Lord, our God? How much do you understand? We need to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal that to us. Because if you do it as a duty, it'll be a foul stench to him. It won't be a sweet offering. But if you do it out of a great delight, let me tell you, it'll go up like perfume to the heavens, and you will receive something beautiful coming back from the heavens. Because I know that is the truth to my relationship. And so I just stir something in you this morning to understand he sat on the throne, not metaphorically, he's not there, but he's let him be central in your hearts and your minds today, pushing all those other things out of the way. Otherwise, they'll be on the throne. Let the fire of the Holy Spirit, let his presence just consume you. I sometimes at home just get down on my knees and I'm just worshipping him, and I can tangibly, don't think it's about church. I just want to say that to you. It just doesn't all happen at church. It happens down on our knees when we're at home. It happens when we're walking along somewhere and we're praying, or we're biking along. Sometimes I'm on my bike and I'm just praying. And I can feel the tangible presence of God fall on me. You see, we have the God of heaven dwelling in us. But when we feel the manifest presence falling, that is very, very different. It's very, very different. And it isn't for the few. It's for us all. So, I am a little strange. I think I am. and I don't mind being a little strange. When I was praying, I want you to really hear what I'm saying today, because, you know, God brings release to us. And I feel that God wants to release some people this morning. And when we have some issues in our lives that we don't cooperate with God about, and you see, God says that we are holy. You are holy. But then God says, choose to be holy as I am holy. So he says, choose to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you and listen and be holy. So there's something God does and something that we have to be. And because if we're not about the things of the Spirit and listening to the Spirit's voice when he says some things, some no's to us, some things that he's telling us, and we keep pushing them away, what we do is we quench the fire of God in our lives. And I felt he said for some people, I do not want you, just close your eyes, I do not want you to swim in the waters of bitterness and offence. I want you to swim in pure water that comes down and flows down to the earth, having faith to see above and beyond your circumstances. And I had a sense that there were some people, you've got very disillusioned, and some people have got even offended with God, that God has not been answering their prayers in the way round they want him to answer them. And God is saying, do not swim in this pool of bitterness and offence, because it will quench the fire, and you do not want to do that. And then this one is that Dave, there was a reason that Dave went over the scripture in Ephesians, and he spoke so fervently about pornography, because it's very, very important that this house is a holy house, and that we are his holy people in the holy house. And God is very graciously coming with all the kindness of heaven to speak to somebody today. And is saying to you, this pornography is very, very serious. This looking at pornography is very, very serious. And he is making this temple and our lives and this church into a place that reflects him. And I felt that God showed me somebody has stepped what they are viewing to something darker. And God, out of his grace and his kindness, has said to you, go get it dealt with. Keep from being proud and humble yourself to go get it dealt with. Because I felt that God was saying that I am the light, and I will expose the things in the darkness. And God is giving you a warning today. He's coming graciously and loving you. He's gathering you up in his loving arms. And he's speaking to you today not to condemn you. He's speaking to you to convict you and to move you from where you are, because he wants this holy fire to come upon your life. And God is kind. And so please, please heed the warning today, because this is God's temple and this is a holy house. And so shall we just stand today? Shall we stand, all of us? I think we need a coronation morning, a coronation service. Shall we shall we crown Jesus this morning, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings in our hearts? Shall we say to him this morning that we will bow and surrender on a daily basis, not just a once, but our lives will be of bowing and our lives will be of surrender? Can we say that, church, together? And can we crown him the Lord of Lords and King of Kings? And can we understand this morning that Father God is absolutely, greatly, greatly, greatly delighted as we do this? It's something that he has allowed to happen this way round, that he has exalted Jesus to the highest place. And so can we, church, this morning behold him, behold his holiness and his worthiness and his powerfulness? Can we understand his authority and power? And can we shake off this morning, and can we relinquish all our pride and all our control? Can we shake off this morning some things that the Holy Spirit has just spoken to you about? You know what they are this morning. Can you lay those down? Can you get rid of them this morning at the foot of the cross, where Jesus will take them? Can you lay down your offences and your bitterness? Can you lay down your toleration for sin, where you've opened a door and beckoned sin in? Can you say to God that you're sorry and you're going to allow him to set you free and deliver you? Can we be these people this morning that understand a holy, holy, holy God, thrice holy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And we just say together as a church, we are expectant. We are expectant for the supernatural to be very natural in this place. We're expectant for the supernatural presence of the living God to come like he did in the days when we read about him in the Gospels, where he just touched the sick and they were healed, where he delivered the demoniac and they were delivered from the powers and the schemes of hell. Can we see those things within our church? And we say, Lord, today we expect their arrival. We absolutely expect their arrival, that the lame shall get up and walk, that the blind shall see, that the deaf shall hear. Come, Lord, we pray. Come in this place, we pray this morning. And we pray for those that are bound and those people that don't know you this morning. If you do not know Jesus, and you're thinking, I want to know this Jesus that this crazy woman is speaking about, you run out today. Don't stay where you are, because the cross came for you. Jesus died for you. His blood was shed for you. The forgiveness of sins was for you. The power of heaven is for you. Come, Lord, we pray. Can I just say something to you? Is that this is very important. We are all very, very different from each other. And God said to me, we will get the extremes and the unusual. And You will get them, we will get them in this church. And I want to tell you that we all pray and worship in different ways. But can I ask you today, if you would open your mouth and put away this English fear that's upon us somewhere of hearing our voices. And could we cry out to the God of heaven and tell him how great and how glorious and how mighty and how powerful he is? Can we cry out with our loud voices this morning to say that?